Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Chulin Daf Kuf Yud. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur will begin from the second line from the top of Daf Kuf Yud. Kisolik Rebbe Lozar, Ashkeche Lezi'iri. When Rebbe Elazar arrived in Eretz Yisrael, he met Ze'iri. The background for this piece of Gemara is worth noting, and that is, we have learned on Daf Kuf Tes in our previous shiur that Rav mentioned in the second Lashon, there were two versions of Rav's law, but Rav had mentioned in the second version that the Chal, the udders of a cow that are cooked up without tearing them prior to the cooking, the tearing would release the milk contained within the udders. The udders, of course, being a piece of meat. According to Rav, if you were to cook it up that way, it would be usur to eat it. So, with that in mind, when Rebbe Elazar came to Eretz Yisrael and met Ze'iri, Omar Lei, Rebbe Elazar asked, Iko Tono de Asne L'Rav Chal, is there someone here who had taught a Tanaic source to Rav concerning the issue of Chal? In other words, coming off this background that Rav had mentioned that a cooked chal is in effect osir, as being a form of basar b'chalav, milk and meat, the curiosity is aroused. Is there someone here who had taught Rav a source concerning this matter? As we go on in the Gemara, we're going to notice Roman numerals 1 and 2. And you will notice them to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, the number 2 being a number of lines later. On the outside margin, we have a Nosei Mivne heading. A Nosei is a topic. Mivne represents a structural note. In this case, we featured our Roman numerals 1 and 2, and have written Beis Lashonos Shonim, two different versions, Shel Birur Horeka Shel Chumras Rav. We are going to investigate the background to the stringent ruling of Rav, which is based on the Lishna Shniyah B'Daf Kuf Tes Amud Beis, the second version back on Daf Kuf Tes Amud Beis, Shekhal Shebishloi Bali Kriya, an udders that was cooked up without being torn open prior, Osur Locho, it is forbidden to eat it. So, we continue now in the Gemara. Ze'iri responds by pointing out Achvei the Rav Yitzchok Bar Avudimi. Ze'iri directed Rebbe Elazar to Rav Yitzchok. Omar Lei, and Rav Yitzchok said, Ani lo shonisi lo chal kol iker. You should know, I didn't teach any source to Rav concerning this issue, the issue of the chal, the udder. So, if you'll ask, well, if you didn't teach any source, then where did Rav come up with this strict ruling? V'Rav bik'o motza v'godar bo geder. Rav found a bik'o. Bik'o, without giving a literal translation, but to convey the meaning, it means he found an area that they were lax with regard to the laws of milk and meat. And as a result of their laxity, Rav felt that it was necessary to compensate for their lax approach to matters and instituted a strict ruling to counter their laxity. In other words, a strict ruling sometimes is a ruling that's beyond what the halacha itself expects, what we would call beyond the letter of the law, in this case, toward stringency. And he did so as to straighten them out, so to speak. So the Gemara says that Rav was in a place, or encountered a place, where they were particularly lax with regard to Basar B'Cholov, the Godar Bogeder, and he built a fence. In other words, he established a law that is more strict than what's really expected of us. The Rav Iklo Letatofus, he arrived at a place called Tatofus. Shomala Yitzo de Komela Chaverta, and he overheard a woman saying to her friend, Riva de Bisra, Kamo Chalvo Boi Livshuli. Riva is a quantity, say a quarter pound of meat. How much chalva, how much milk do you need to cook it in? Well, Omar, Rav said, Lo Gemiri de Basar B'Cholov Asur. Do these people not know that you cannot cook meat in milk? Iakiv, he tarried there, the Ka'osar Lahu Kachli, and he banned even udders. So from this, we see that the statement of Rav that cooked udders are usur, that was said, but in this context, indicating that basically cooked udders, as far as the halacha is concerned, are fine. But in a place that they are mezalzel in halacha, that they treat it offhandedly or in a too lenient a fashion, we have to go to the other extreme and impose restrictions. Rav Kahana Masni Hochi. That means that Rav Kahana, in teaching over this story concerning Rav and the background that we just learned, follows this approach that we mentioned. Rabbi Yossi bar Abba Masni, however, Rabbi Yossi bar Abba has a different version. And that's why you see with our markings, we've squiggle underline Rabbi Yossi bar Abba Masni, indicating the alternative expression, the alternative Lashon. Often in other Gemaras, we use the squiggle underline when it comes to something like Ika Diamri, or Iboyas Ema, or Inami, different expressions that indicate a transition. Here, we have a transition from the first approach to now a new approach. So Rav Yossi bar Abba Masni, he teaches thusly. Rav Yitzchok says, Ano, I, says Rav Yitzchok, Chal shel menika shonisi loy. I did teach over a source concerning the restrictions appropriate for chal, or concerning chal. However, when teaching the issue of chal, I had in mind a nursing cow, a cow that's nursing its offspring. The udders of nursing cow are naturally filled with much more milk than a non-nursing cow after giving birth. So the female, the mother, the parent, the mother animal produces milk. So it's that kind of udders that, if cooked up, would be usser. However, that's what I intended. And Umipupulo Rabbi Chiya Shona Lei Chal Stam. Rabbi Chiya was a master, a teacher of Rav. And Rabbi Yitzchak says, I figured that just like Rabbi Chiya was a pupulo, means a sharp individual, all I would have to say is udders, and he, Rabbi Chiya, for example, would have understood it to mean a milking cow, a nursing cow. And therefore, I didn't elaborate. I didn't spell out my intention. I said, udders or usser. And I figured that just like Rabbi Chiya would understand it to mean a nursing cow's udders are forbidden to be cooked up, Likewise, Rav would have understood the same. But, apparently, Rav didn't catch on. As Rashi says, this we dashed underline this in Rashi, V'sovur shiovin Rav shein osir el meniko. And I figured, says Rabbi Yitzchok, that Rav, upon hearing the teaching that a cooked up cow would be osir, would have understood that it's referring to a nursing cow. And yet, as Rashi concludes, v'lo hevin, but Rav didn't understand that. And he then taught over a general prohibition of cooked cow. But that's not what I intended. As we go on in the Gemara, we glance at the outside margin, the nosei. We've indicated here hemshech. This is a continuation of the topic regarding the issue of udders. Minhogim shoinim legabi achilas chal mevushal. Different practices regarding the eating of cooked udders. Rovin Rav Yitzchok bar Yosef iklu lebei Rav Popi. So Rovin and Rav Yitzchok visited the house of Rav Popi. Aisu lekamayu tavshila dekhal. There was brought in front of them, they were served a dish of khal, cooked khal. Rav Yitzchok bar Yosef ochal, Rovin lo ochal. One ate, Rovin did not, the other didn't eat. Omar Abaye. Abaye says, Rovin tichla amai lo ochal. The word Tichla, Rovin is his name. Tichla means the bereaved. Rashi explains that Rovin unfortunately buried his children. In other words, his children did not experience longevity, and he buried his sons. So, out of a sense of grieving, he would refer to him as Rovin, the unfortunate one, the Tichla that buries his children. So he asks him, Rovin, why don't you eat? Why don't you eat the kukhal? Look who's serving it to you. The wife of Rav Popi is preparing it and serving it. Why don't you eat from it? Michti, let's look into this. Devisu de Rav Popi, the wife of Rav Popi who's preparing this dish, Barte de Rav Yitzchok Nafcha Avoy. She was the daughter of the illustrious Rav Yitzchok Nafcha. Rav Yitzchok Nafcha More de Uvda Havei. He was a person who was very careful in his religious life. Ilav the Shmiel Lomi Beinosha, if the wife of Rav Popi, who was serving the kukhal, had not learned that from her father's house, Lohava, although she wouldn't have prepared it. So if she's preparing it, must be that it's totally mutter. There's no reason for you not to eat it. And yet, as we go on in the Gemara, we discover Basura Lo Achli Kachli. In Surah, they didn't eat chal at all. Rashi goes out and on a limb and says they didn't eat it at all, even roasted, even if it were torn open. In other words, even if all the preventive measures, all of the evasive measures taken to remove the milk were taken, in Surah they would not eat chal at all. But Pumbedisa, achli kachli. In Pumbedisa, they would eat chal. It's worth mentioning, in anticipation of the upcoming Gemara, that one of the prominent rabbinic figures in Pumbedisa was Rav Yehuda. And in Pumbedisa, they ate chal. That point will be of relevance later. As we go on in the Gemara, we'll notice to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text the little word Maisa written in and encircled with a vertical dashed line. And you'll notice that this line continues almost halfway down Amud Beis. That indicates that we have a long story ahead of us. And the Gemara continues. Rami Bar Tamri, the who Rami Bar Dikuli. He's also known as Rami Bar Dikuli. Interesting to note that the names, it's the same person, and the Tomar is a date, and a Dikuli, Dekel, is a palm tree. So maybe there is a connection in the fact that he had these two names. Nevertheless, it says that Rami Bar Tamri, Mi Pumbedisa, he was from Pumbedisa, Iklo Lesura, and he traveled to Sura. So we might as well note ahead of time that Rami Bar Tamri is coming from a place that they would eat chal, and he arrived in a place that they would not eat chal. And he came to Sura, Iklu l'Sura b'mali yoma de Kippuri. It was on Erev Yom Kippur. Erev Yom Kippur is one of those days that is there is a mitzvah to eat. It's a very special day regarding eating food. Erev Yom Kippur, one eats. It's the 9th of Tishrei, and the Chazal darshan that eating on the 9th of Tishrei is considered as if he fasted. It's like the fasting of Yom Kippur. So it's a day that people made sure they would have a meal. He comes to, Rami Bar Tamri comes to Surah on Erev Yom Kippur. Afkinu kuli amo lekachlinu. People had slaughtered animals for their meal, but they threw out the udders. Of course, he's in Surah. Those people aren't going to eat the udders under any circumstances. So Afkinu, we're reading again, Afkinu kuliyama l'tachlinu, they took outside the udders, Shadinu, they threw them out. Ozal ihu naktinu, he, Rami Bar Tamri, went and collected them, achlinu, and he ate them. He ate udders. Aisua l'kamei de Rav Chista, and he was brought to Rav Chista, Amalei, Amai Tavinochi, why'd you eat the udders? Amalei, well, may Asra de Rav Yehuda, Hano, the Ochil, I come from Rabbi Yehuda's town. I come from Pobedisa. As we mentioned, Rabbi Yehuda was the Rav of that community. And we ate kachli. Omar lay, so Rav Chista asks, Veleslach, do you not hold from the following law? Noisinol of chumri mokum shiotsu misham v'chumri amokum shaholach l'sham. When dealing with places that have different practices, if one is coming from a place of stringency or one is going to a place of stringency, we impose on the individual the stricter approach. In other words, if he's coming from a place of stringency, going to a place where they are lenient, he must maintain his original strict practices. And likewise, if he comes from a place of leniency and arrives at a place of stringency, he must observe the strict approach of the new community. So in this case, Rami Bar Tamri has arrived in a place of restriction. So why is it that Rami Bar Tamri practices his lenient approach in eating the udders when he's in a place where they don't? Omar Lei, so Rami answers, Chutz l'tchum achlisinu. I was outside the communal boundaries. Tchum is a distance known as tchum. Shabbos, 2,000 amas outside the communities. In other words, I was not in the community proper while I was eating the udders. Well, if that's the case, ubamata v'sinu, if you're not in someone's home, you're not being hosted, so how did you roast them? Where did you have wood? There's no wood out there in the fields. Amalei, but Portsini. I used grape seeds, grape pits, and these are found in the by the wine presses. So I took the grape pits and used them as fuel for roasting my udders. Ah, so the Rav Chista asks, "V'dilma miayin nesech havia?" Maybe it's grape pits that was from grapes that were made into forbidden wine. Amalei la'achar shnei mosor chodesh havu. The grape pits that I were using were after they were sitting there for 12 months. They were completely dry, and therefore there's no residue of yayin nesach, forbidden wine, that's attached to these grape seeds. Ah, v'tilma gezel havu. So Rav Chista still challenges Rami Bar Tamri and says maybe they belonged to somebody and you were using stolen grape seeds. Amalei yeush bailim have de kadachu behu chilfi. Rami answers, I can tell that if they were ever owned, so the owner has given up hope on them. Yeush means he has given up hope of ever recovering them, reclaiming them. And how do I know that? Because grasses are growing on these seeds. Rashi says, Chilfi, v'hoyu miskaklin v'nirkovin, v'lo notlu misham, Since these grape seeds are deteriorating to the extent that now grasses are growing out of them, and the owners haven't come to take them, I can see that they have no concern regarding their ownership. Chazia delo have monach tefillin. Rav Chisda noticed that Rami Bar Tamri was not wearing tefillin. Amale, my time alo manchis tefillin. Why aren't you wearing tefillin? Amale, choli me'ayin hu. The Omar Vihuda choli me'ayin potem minat tefillin. He said that I am suffering from digestive disorders. Like intestinal problems, we can say digestional disorders. And Rav Yehuda, and notice we're citing again Rav Yehuda, we had mentioned before that Rami Bar Tamri came from Rav Yehuda's town, and hence with our markings, in order to convey the spirit of his being associated with Rav Yehuda, we're using one of our geometric forms, this series marking, to indicate this association with Rav Yehuda. So he says, I'm a cholim ayam, and Rav Yehuda teaches cholim ayam poter min atfilin. One who suffers from cholim ayam is exempt from tefillin. All right. Chazia, Rav Chisda noticed, he saw, delo hava kol rami chuti, that Rami Bar Tamri, not only was he not wearing tefillin, but he was also not wearing tzitzis. There weren't tzitzis in the garment that he was wearing. So he was wearing some four-cornered garment, which is chayav in tzitzis, and lo and behold, there were no tzitzis in the corners of his garment. Omar lei, Surah Chisda says, my time less lachuti, why don't you have tzitzis? Chuti literally are strings, but we know they refer to tzitzis. Amalei, so Rami Bar Tamri answers, there's a reason. Talishulahi, this is a borrowed garment. I borrowed it from somebody, the Omar Rav Yehuda. And once again, notice how he cites Rav Yehuda. Talis Shula, kol shlo shim yom p'tura min hatzitzis. That if one does not own the garment, he borrowed it, for a period of 30 days, there is an exemption of having tzitzis. In other words, the one who's borrowing the garment doesn't have to concern himself within 30 days of having borrowed it with regard to putting in tzitzis. Adohochi, in the meantime, Aisua lahu gavra delohava moikra avua v'ime. So as the scene continues, we've got Rav Chisda and Rami Bar Tamri together, and a person is brought to them, a person who is not moikra avua v'ime, means he is one who does not honor his mother nor father. As a result of his showing dishonor, disrespect to his parents, kaftuhu, they bound him up, and this tying up is in anticipation of lashing him. So we have someone who is going to receive lashes for having shown disrespect to his parents. Omar luhu. So Rami Bar Tamri speaks up and he says, Shafku, leave him free, leave him be. Tesanya, we have a Tanaic source in which it says, Kol mitzvah asay shematan schora betzida. All positive commands, including showing the need to show respect to one's parents, shematan schora betzida means where in the Torah the reward for the fulfillment of that particular positive command is written next to the command. Ein bezdin shelamata muzaron aleh. The earthly court is not charged over it. In other words, the earthly court doesn't try cases like that, doesn't punish offenders of these kind of mitzvahs. And the Torah, in fact, states the reward of one who honors his parents. He merits having a long life. That's spelled out in the Torah itself. So as a result of the reward being spelled out, that relieves the earthly bezdin from being charged with overseeing the fulfillment of this mitzvah. Therefore, free the man. Amalei, Sarav Chisda says, Chazino loch de harifas tuva. I see that you're very sharp. you're a person that's really on the ball. Every point that I made, you had a response to it. Amale, so Rami says back, if you would be in Rav Yehuda's town together with me, Achvina lachurfoya, I'd really show you my sharpness. The impression that one gets from here is that since he's visiting, he's not in the town where the Rav is, so he's exercising a certain level of restraint in his real legal prowess. As we continue in the Gemara, we notice a slash mark, which indicates that that which follows is a new point of discussion. We will also notice diamonds that appear in the Gemara. In general, the topic that we're dealing with now has to do with the liver. Liver preparation. The liver organ is perceived by the Chazal as being an organ of blood. However, we know that we eat the liver. So the liver presents a certain type of paradox where it's viewed as blood, and yet, even though blood is something that is forbidden to consume, we are allowed to eat liver. We will end up discussing how are we to react, to view the blood that's in the liver organ. As we mentioned, there are diamonds that appear in this sugya. One is here, and number two is found on Kuf Yud Aleph Omed Aleph, the top line. Under our Nosei Mivne heading in the outside margin, we have written, the diamond is featured, Shnei Mifgashim, two encounters, Sh'Rav Safrim Rab Zrika, Beretz Yisrael, where Rav Safra meets up with Rabbi Zrika in Israel. Rav Safra traveled from Bavel to Israel, and Rav Safra was put to the task of asking Rabbi Zrika or inquiring in Eretz Israel matters regarding the liver. Abaye sent Rav Safra, so to speak, on this mission. So, and we've written Birurei Halachas Lagabi Bishul Kovid. We're going to be analyzing and investigating halachas regarding the cooking of a liver. Levad, a liver by itself, or im chatichos basar acheres. And a case of liver being cooked up with other pieces of meat. Omar le, the Gemara, Omar le Abaye Rav Safra. Abaye instructs Rav Safra, ki salkis lahasam, when you go there, when you go to Eretz Israel, boi minahu, ask of them. Kavdo ma atun bei. The kavdo, the liver, what is your approach to it? We can glance at the Rashi. Rashi says, kavdo, in the upper part of the Rashi commentary, kavdo ma atem noagin bo. Mutar levashel begdera osir. Is it allowed to be cooked up in a pot or not? Mipnei shepolei dam. The reason to suggest that it would be osir is because it exudes blood. Ve'af al pi shekulo dam. Even though the entire liver is viewed as dam, and one would think, well, if the whole thing is viewed as dam, so there's no problem whatsoever. After all, we know that we can eat liver, so who cares? What difference does it make? Afilu hachi. However, even so, la'acha shepiresh v'yotza, after the blood that's in the liver departs, exits it, harehu dam v'oser. It nevertheless, that is blood. And as such, blood is something that is forbidden to eat. Let us point out, based on the Tosfos that's on this page, there are actually two approaches in the Tosfos itself to the issue of this Gemara. When we speak about the liver and the cooking up of the liver, are we talking about a liver that hasn't been treated at all? Simply, animal was slaughtered, liver removed, and plop it in a pot with boiling water? Or as the Rabbeinu Tam learns, we are talking, or I should say, that is how the Rabbeinu Tam learns. We're talking about a koveh that was not even salted. There is a second approach found in the Tosfos that says that if it hasn't been salted, the salting process removes the blood. If it hasn't been salted, it's obvious that this would be forbidden. The question, according to the second approach taken in the Tosfos, is we're talking about a liver that actually was treated. It was salted already. But even though it was salted, there still remains the question of can it be cooked up in a pot. For our purposes, we won't commit ourselves to either one of those approaches. We'll speak in general terms about the cooking up of a liver. So the Abaye put Rav Safra to the task of, when you get to Israel, ask them what's their practice with regard to liver. Kisolik, Ashli Rav Zrika. When Rav Safra went up to Eretz Yisrael, he met Rav Zrika. Omar Lei, Ano Shalki Lei L'Rabbi Ami V'Ochal. Rabbi Zrika tells him, listen, I boil up livers and feed them and serve them to Rabbi Ami, and he eats it. Ki Oso L'Gabei. Well, when Rav Safra came back to Bovel, Omar Lei, Abaye says, L'Meser Navsho Lo Komibayali. As far as the liver itself becoming forbidden, that was never a question to me. In other words, it's obvious that the liver, when it's boiled up, it exudes and doesn't absorb. So it's, as it's boiling, the blood flows out of it, and it doesn't get reabsorbed. So that certainly if you were to take a liver that's boiled up and you pull it out of the pot while it's in its final stages of boiling, there's no problem. That's not a question at all. It's obvious that it doesn't reabsorb the blood. Rashi says, "Depshitali the kevon de truda hiliflo." Since it's preoccupied in exuding while it's boiling, ulahotzi kol shal lo bala, and it's the liver is busy, so to speak, exuding its blood. It's therefore not going to absorb it. The Gemara goes on, "Ki komibayali lemeser chaverta." My question, says Abaye, that I would hope that you would have checked out, is regarding the liver that's being cooked up and its ability to create prohibition on another piece that's being cooked up alongside. So the Gemara asks a question on the question, so to speak. You say that you have a question regarding Lemesa Chaverta. Why do you have that as a question? What's different about the case concerning the liver itself and its status, that's not a problem? In other words, you said that's obviously mutter, it's obviously allowed. Well, you got that from a Mishnah, Disnan Eino Neseres. The Mishnah says that the Koved, when it's cooked up, does not itself become forbidden. Well, by the same token, l'meiser chaverta nami lo tibayaloch. The issue of does the liver that's being boiled up make other pieces in the same pot become forbidden, that also shouldn't be an issue that you have to ask about. This non. The Mishnah addresses that as well. And it says in the Tanaic source, just like you were sure that it itself does not become forbidden based on your knowledge of the Tanaic source, the Tanaic source says as well the following, HaKoved Oseres V'eno Neeseres. The Koved does create prohibition on the part of the other pieces that are cooked up along with it. It osers the others, it forbids the others. V'eno Neeseres, but it itself does not become forbidden. Neshehi Poletes V'eno Bolas. The liver is busy exuding and not absorbing. So that explains why the liver remains mutter. So the question, remember, we had a question on the question, and that was, Abaye told Rav Safra, you know, I really wanted you to ask about, does the liver Aser create prohibition on other pieces? So regarding that, we ask, why should that be a question? Doesn't the source say clearly that the kovet oseres? Amar lei. Now, at the bottom line, Abaye answers. In other words, Rav Safra had said to Abaye, if you are asking about its ability to aser others, just like you're sure about it itself not becoming forbidden, it should be obvious to you that it will aser others based on the same Tanaic source. Amale, so Abaye responds, Dilma hosam bekavdo di isura, and at the top of Kufyud Aleph, umishum shamnu nisa. Maybe the source that you just cited, indicating that it's clear that the kaved asers, is talking about the kaved of a forbidden animal. Rashi uses an example, the kaved of a trefa. And there, the element of the kaved that would aser others is the fats, the shamnunisa, the fatty content of it. But the fatty content of the liver, while being boiled up with other pieces of meat, that fatty content of the forbidden liver, the trefa liver, will ruin the other pieces of meat. However, mishum domamai, what about the question of a kosher liver and the dam that comes out of it and its ability to make other pieces of meat forbidden? That remains my question. Okay? Kihadar salik, well, when Rav Safra went up to Eretz Yisrael a second time, Ashkel Rav Zrika, and he met up with Rabbi Zrika. Amalei, Rabbi Zrika answers, Hainami lo tivoy aloch. This issue as well, the issue of the kavda that's boiled up with other pieces of meat, do the other pieces of meat become forbidden? Well, that also lo tivoy aloch should not be a question. When we speak once again about the other pieces becoming forbidden, we're talking about a kosher liver, a liver coming from a kosher animal, not a trefa, but a kosher animal. And the issue is, the blood that exudes from this liver, does it aser other pieces cooked along with it? So Rabbi Zrika is telling Rav Safra, you don't have to ask about that. De'ano v'yanai b'rei Rabbi Ami, I and Yanai, the son of Rabbi Ami, Iklon lebei Yehuda b'rei Rav Shimon Pazi. We went to the house of Rabbi Yehuda, the son of Shimon Pazi. The karivu lon kanyo v'kufyo v'achalno, and they served us this called organ meat, kanya trachea, kufya, and all the organs attached to it, including the organs attached to the kone, is included. Rashi points out the lungs, the heart, and the liver. And they were all cooked together. So we see from here that the liver, when cooked with other pieces of meat, the liver does not create prohibition. It doesn't aser. However, the Gemara does not leave off over there. You'll notice we have a long question marking. The kuf is encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a vertical descending dash line, indicates that all the upcoming lines of the Gemara form the question. The Gemara opposes this conclusion and says, Maskif lo Rav Ashi v'tamer of Shmuel Mizrukinya. Rav Ashi, another version is Rav Shmuel, respond, attack, and say, V'dilma pikona chutz l'gdera have. You know why all those other pieces of meat are mutter? It's because the trachea, the entrance to the trachea, was left outside the pot. As a result, we're talking about all of the organs are connected to the kona, to the trachea, and all of the organs that we're speaking about include the kaved. While they're being cooked up together, and they are attached to the kona, the blood that's contained in them simply bubbles out, boils and bubbles out. It spills out. All of the main veins and arteries that are in the organs lead one into the other, and eventually they can, if you backtrack, they end up in the kone. and as the meat is boiling up, the liver is boiling up, so the liver blood content will pour out through the kona that's outside the pot. And therefore, it's not a function of the blood exuding from the liver that doesn't ruin the other organs, but since they're all connected, the blood is channeled out of the liver through the kona and outside the pot. And that's why the other organs are not affected. Inami, another explanation as to how you cannot conclude from here that it's allowed to cook the liver up with others, is because here we're talking about a treated liver. Inami, michlat havecholit le'meikara. Michlat, or chalita, is a process where the piece of meat, in this case the liver, was treated with was treated by chalita. Rashi says, Inami cholit have mekara, v'nizbashel domo besocho, kidei shelo yiflot od shivashlu im ho'achir. The domo hamuvla besocho mutar kozman shelo yotza. What is Rashi explaining? What chalita is? Chalita is taking the liver before putting it in the pot with other pieces of meat and cooking them all together. He boiled the liver up separately. By doing that, the blood that's in the liver gets cooked up. It becomes cooked up blood that's in it. And as a result of that, as a result of it being cooked up in it, it won't exude later on when the liver is re-cooked with other pieces of meat. And the Gemara goes on, Ki ha, Rav Huna, similar to the story involving Rav Huna, Chalti le b'chola. Rav Huna would subject or submerge the liver in chola, in vinegar. What this would do is the vinegar would cause a contraction of all the blood vessels, thereby sealing the blood in the kovet, in the liver. And once the blood is sealed into the organ, that blood no longer poses a threat. We should point out that the Isser of Dam is an Isser of Dam that left the organ, left the meat or the organ in which it was originally found. It left it and then got reabsorbed. That's the Isser of Dam. However, Dam that never departed the meat in which it was found is not blood of prohibition. So the Gemara explains that we have precedent for this in Rav Huna having done chalita with vinegar. Vinegar sealing the blood and keep sealing it in the organ. Rav Nachman chalti le beroyschin. Rav Nachman would do as we mentioned just before. He would submerge the liver in a pot of boiling water, and that would thereby seal the blood in it, and it wouldn't come out later on. And therefore, after this, you could cook up the liver with other pieces of meat. V'sovar Rav Papa kamei d'rova lemeimar. Rav Papa thought to say, this will be changed, but he thought to say in the presence of Rava, chola osir. The chola is the vinegar. The vinegar that was used for the sealing of the vessels, of the blood vessels. Rav Papa figured or wanted to say that the chola becomes forbidden. The vinegar itself becomes forbidden. Amale, I chola osir, if it's true, if it's so, that the chola, that the vinegar becomes osir, says Rava, ihu nami osir. So then the liver itself should become prohibited. And we know that's not so. Ki hechi de polit. Let's read this again. If you're going to say that the vinegar is ulcer, so then the liver itself should become ulcer. Ki hechi de polit hoder bola, just like the vinegar caused the blood to come out, and hence that would make the vinegar forbidden. So just like it makes it come out, it would also reabsorb it. And if it gets reabsorbed, if the liver reabsorbs blood that had left it, that should pose a threat to the liver and cause it to be forbidden. And now the main thing we have to speak out, and since we know that the liver is not forbidden, that's an indication that the vinegar never drew out the blood in the first place, enabling us to talk about reabsorption. And that having been said, so not like Rav Papa thought that the vinegar is usher, but no, the vinegar itself remains mutter. All that happened is that the vinegar, in effect, seals up the blood vessels, but that's it. The vinegar itself doesn't absorb the blood. Therefore, Rava will rule that the vinegar it is also mutter. So with that, we conclude our shiur for today.